Dietz and Watson's been making meats and cheeses the right way since forever. What's that mean? It means never cutting corners, ever. It means cooking, not processing. It means our Virginia brand ham that's cooked to perfection, then twice baked to layer the flavors. It takes more time, but you can taste the difference. We come to work every day to do it the right way, even if it's the hard way. Because if it's not right for us, it's not right for you. Dietz and Watson, it's a family thing since 1939.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now, you're multitasking. But what if you could also be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. So multitask right now. Get your quote now at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's great to be together. We haven't been together since the Super Bowl.
Right.
And that was the first time we were together.
In 2 years. Right.
And so it's and you didn't really manhandle me the way that I think you would have wanted.
Well, I wanted to. I know. I didn't know how comfortable you were with it. I mean,
completely uncomfortable.
Well, great.
With it.
I don't know, but it wasn't as comfortable as the Super Bowl. The Super Bowl, you told me like, get away. I'm going to kick you. I'm going to punch you. You said that, so at least we're breaking ground here.
I went straight into the old school. You know the old school like Jack Dempsey fighting stance where they would do, you
yeah,
know,
yeah,
the
right.
bare knuckles.
Right.
Like who was ever intimidated
like that?
By that?
Yeah, I don't know either. I don't know.
This is just you just put your middle fingers back. That's what this stance is.
Exactly.
Right? You know, EJ gave me quite an impressive mustache. If I could grow that mustache, I would.
I can't believe you can't. Why can't you grow that mustache? I think you could do the mustache. The beard thing, I'm not sure about. I know, but like,
I can't. No, huh? I can't. Haven't I told you the story before? We went to the Catholic high school with no facial hair of any kind. So after we graduated, everybody grew a mustache, and they were the cheesiest things you could imagine. And I kept mine way too long, and it was horrible. It was horrible.
Well,
if I could grow that, I would keep it.
I like how they gave you the good guy. I mean, first off, that's like you got an upgrade. I got a downgrade. I mean, that's just I don't like it. I'd beat the crap out of the guy that's on me or either one of them. I don't like either one of them, buddy. But that's you. You're 58. You're happy with that look.
57.
So,
shut up.
Sorry.
Shut
whatever. One of those old numbers. But that other one, that's a disservice to me, EJ. And I know where you live, EJ. I'm going to come find you. I might have to strike that pose right in front of you, EJ. How dare you do that to me?
Mine is largely accurate. Mine really is. That's largely accurate. I'm not going to be taking off my shirt anytime soon for the camera, but it's not all that far off. Yours, yeah, yours yours is a little on the thin side.
Well, yeah.
A little on the weakling side.
It definitely is. Did you got that little patch of hair in the middle of your chest too? If we took the shirt off and
No, more than a little patch.
No.
Although it's all gray now, so you can't see it.
Okay, so you got some chest hair that we're working with, and I don't know. I mean, those arms that guy has. I don't know if your arms are vascular and you're in shape, but I don't know if you quite have that kind of muscle. That's where I'll question that and throw the challenge
flag. I just want the mustache. I don't care about the body. I'll take the body that I have. I want the mustache that EJ gave me. We are back. And to the delight of those who thought that we suddenly had a new set, where not only are we together, but we're in a room full of old books with carpet that people were complaining about. It was a 3-day thing. And actually for Chris, it was a 2-day thing because Friday morning, and he taunted me. I mean, he's not on Friday anyway. Why did you have to taunt me that you weren't going to be there? You're never there on Friday.
I know.
And I'm there.
Right.
And I'm trying to keep the show going, and one of our guests canceled. Don't need three guesses as to who it was who canceled. And I'm trying to keep the show going, and you're basically giving me the middle finger from afar.
Oh, definitely. No question. I was enjoying, like, my ride to the airport going, oh, I was up in Adam. I was up early, so that was not the problem. But, yeah, I rubbed it in a little bit. I think I sent you a few text messages and, you know, gifts and whatever else. Oh, wait, let me think. Who canceled? I'm going to guess it's a guy that used to play safety in the NFL that – used to hit people really hard, and he had a friend that got inducted to the Hall of Fame. I'm guessing it's that guy that maybe canceled on you? Yeah, sure. I'll come down at 8:30. I heard him say that to you the night before.
we had the odds of him actually showing at 50-50, and I was shading a little bit below the 50 just because it was never really a full-throated, I'll definitely be there.
Yes,
I didn't expect it, and I wasn't mad about it because we had Matthew Berry hang around for most of the hour. And I'm delighted we have Matthew Berry. I told him I'm at a point in my life where I really don't want to meet any new people, but I was very glad to meet him and get to know him and reluctantly expanded my list of friends. He may not feel the same way, but at least from my perspective, which takes a lot for me at this point to welcome someone in. Hell, it took me a while to welcome you in 5 years ago, so it's even more difficult to get over the wall now. Not that they're lining up to get over the wall, but that's okay. I still have a wall.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, they're not lining up to get over the wall. Matthew Berry's an awesome addition to the team. And, yeah, I found out this weekend, too, that, you know, when I did try out for this show with a few other people, that when they asked you who you wanted, you said none of them. So apparently you didn't like me that much. They forced me on you.
Kareem Hunt wants none of the Browns to be his teammates anymore. How's that for a segue? Let's get to some of the news that emerged over the weekend, because really, because it was funny because you kind of had this reaction like, oh boy, I can't believe you said that. So it was kind of good. It was worth it. It was a little payback for what you usually do to me physically. I can only ever get you verbally, so that was pretty good. Okay, Kareem Hunt. Now, this thing I think has gone full circle over the course of a weekend. I think it's now over, but let's summarize what happened. Kareem Hunt's wanted a new contract for a while. I remember when he signed his current deal a couple of years ago, I thought this is really team friendly. And now he's finally realized this is really team friendly. Wants a new deal, hasn't gotten a new deal, all of a sudden decided he was going to do a partial hold-in where he wasn't going to participate in team drills, but would participate in individual drills, wants a contract, wants to be traded. Brown said, no new contract, we're not going to trade you. Reportedly, the Browns were fining him for not participating in the team drills, and then on Sunday, he backed off. Like, this isn't working, I'm just going to go back to being, you know, the message sent to the rest of the league, if anyone wants to trade for me, but they say they're not going to trade me. So, and before we hear from Kevin Stefanski on that, I'm always a believer in a guy trying to get more.
Right.
But you better be confident that it's going to work. You can't just be a guy that isn't one of the members of the nucleus of the team that takes a stand and they just smack you down and they don't care. I mean, you have to at least be in a position where you've got enough skill and you've got enough equity with the team that when you try to get more, there's a pretty good chance it's going to work. And I think right now Kareem Hunt at best is on the bubble of being a guy, that could get the team's attention, and he clearly didn't.
Yeah, I think that's the right way to say it. He's a really good player. He's talented. There's no question. But, I mean, it's obvious he's not the best running back on this football team. You know, he's not the bell cow guy. He's not the most explosive as compared to Nick Chubb. And I think you're saying that right. There's not a lot of ground to stand on here to where it's going to make the team go, oh, no, like, wow, wait, you know, we're not going to be able to live without you not practicing or being a part of our football team. He is an important part of the football team, no doubt, but he's not one of those crown jewel guys, Myles Garrett, some of the other guys on the football team where they go, whoa, wait, you know, we're not going to be the same team without you. Now, you know, they're not going to trade him. The run game's important, right? I mean, they're a team that's built around the run, their offensive line. They're going to try to keep a little wear and tear off of Nick Chubb, so he does have that value there. But they also have some other running backs behind him. And I think the most important thing to me, Mike, is, you know, how quickly we forget. You know, Cleveland is a team, you know, that took a chance on Kareem Hunt when things were not so great. And I bet you – There was a time before he got this two-year, $12 million contract where he was going, oh, man, I hope I didn't blow it and don't have a chance, you know, hope I get another chance to maybe make a little money. And Cleveland's the team that reached out, signed him, brought him back home to Ohio, and then, of course, gave him, you know, some change here. And it's pretty good change for a backup running back. Again, for a market where we're seeing running backs not get paid a lot, this is a guy that's a backup and, hey, still making $6 million a year. So, yeah, I don't imagine anything happening here unless they get just blown away by some trade offer by some other football team. But I think that's highly unlikely at this point.
We'll talk about the number that you said of $6 million a year in a second, but let's be clear on this.
Yeah.
The Browns didn't suddenly decide to play the role of Father Flanagan. They saw a guy who was the NFL's leading rusher as a rookie.
Sure.
Who washed out of Kansas City after he was caught on video shoving and kicking a woman. He lied to the Chiefs about it. The video showed that he wasn't telling the truth. The Chiefs cut him. It was right around Thanksgiving-ish. A week or so after Thanksgiving in 2018, then he got suspended 8 games, and he and Nick Chubb became the most dangerous combination of running backs in the NFL. Now, last year, Kareem Hunt missed some games due to injury. Some think D'Ernest Johnson have leapfrogged him. Now, I looked at the team's website. They have yet to release the non-binding, officially unofficial depth chart. All teams usually put one out before their first preseason game. I think they're required to. But I suspect he's still number two.
Yeah.
Johnson did a lot last year when both Chubb and Hunt were out. Remember that Thursday night game where he tore up the Broncos. But we're not talking about a guy where they just threw him a lifeline out of the goodness of their heart.
No, I get
and,
you.
And, Chris, here's the thing about the contract. He has a salary of $1.35 million. He's got $200,000 of his roster bonus tied to actually being available to play. He's got $3.4 million this year tied up in being in the 46-man game day lineup. And if he's not, every game, $200,000's gone. I wonder if they could placate him just by saying, we're going to give you that full 3.4 and not make you be healthy enough because you're playing a position, car crash. You're not going to be able to play. You know, last year had per-game roster bonuses of $135,000 a game. And how many games did he miss?
Eight.
It's like 9 games.
Yeah, 8 or 9. You're right, 9.
He either missed 8 or 9. One or the other. It was 17. It gets screwy.
Right.
But, yeah, that money's gone forever. There it is. Played 8 games last year, so he missed 9 of those checks. That money's gone, and it's never coming back. And I have a feeling that may be sticking in his craw a little bit.
Well, I think so, and I think maybe that's a little remedy to the situation. We've seen that done before for really good football players. But, again, I don't know if I've seen it done a whole lot for the guy that, you're right, is, you know, we just explained it. He's the backup, but it's not by, like, a lot. There's some other good players there. I do think he is the guy. He's very talented. He's worthy of being a number one running back. I get that, too. But, you know, it seems weirder now because they took the chance on Deshaun Watson, but that was controversial at the time when they did that. And I think that's why he signed that type of contract because, again, there wasn't a lot of teams reaching out to Kareem Hunt going, hey, we want you and the video that you had, bring that to town because that's good for business for us. So, you know, that's where, you know, again, I'm like you. I'm always for the player getting money. I am. I just have a hard time – you know, on this one, thinking he's got a real side to bargain with here, and he might just have to, hey, maybe do what you said. Maybe their agent can get something done, some sort of middle ground, or, hey, just buy your time and do your best to stay healthy this year and be part of that running back crew. And next year, hopefully you can see a pretty good payday with another football team that maybe wants to make you a starting running back.
And that's not going to be the easiest thing to do either. He is 27.
Yeah, he's getting up there, right.
As of this weekend, and that's getting on the older side for running backs because you have that constant every year, new arrivals from college, full tread on the tires, cheaper. They're under that rookie wage scale. You get them in the mid to late rounds. You're not paying much. You throw the guy out into the fray, and it's cheaper, far cheaper than what Kareem Hunt would want when he's on the open market.
Let me ask. So. I was just gonna say one more thing too. I mean, you know, with what you were saying, I know it's a car crash position, and we worry about that, and I understand that. But at the same time, you know, don't you feel like there's less solid ground to stand on, you know, and saying, hey, I want to be the guy, when they're going to go, well, wait, you missed 8 games the first year you were here. You played 1 full season and you missed 9 games last year. Right. And why would we pay you more money when you haven't proven that you can even like handle the workload of being the backup guy yet? So that's where I feel like it's a little off, even though, again, that's the brutal thing about the running back. And I understand that. I don't want to sound insensitive, but I'm just trying to explain maybe Cleveland's view of it in a business, you know, standpoint that way.
Well, and I'm sure that it has been an issue for Kareem Hunt ever since Nick Chubb signed the 3-year, $36 million extension in 21. You hear about it from family members. You hear about it from friends.
That's right.
You're just as good as him. You're just as good as him. He's getting that much. He's getting 12 a year, and you're getting 6, but you got to work for like most of it. You can't even be injured at the position that causes the most injuries in all of football, and you lost $135,000 a game. Like, you know, that there's just a lot. You get a lot of pressure.
You
I think
do.
In a situation like
disagree.
That, you get a lot of pressure from
You're
people
right.
around you.
Yes.
And that manifests itself. And he tried.
Right.
He tried.
Right.
Stayed out of team drills for a couple of days, realized that wasn't going to work. Here's Kevin Stefanski talking about the situation yesterday, specifically whether or not Kareem Hunt has bought in with the 2022 Browns.
Yeah, I'm not going to call or go that far. Scott, I'll just tell you we got some work to do, and that's what we'll focus on. We're working. No distraction. This is normal. This is normal, guys. This is NFL football.
It is?
As far as I know.
He was asked whether he wishes he had a normal training camp. That was his response. This is normal. Is it with Deshaun Watson? Especially with Deshaun Watson. Now, it should be normal because they did this. This isn't a surprise. So it's normal from the perspective of what they were signing up for when they traded for him. But I'm sure he hopes that this version of normal doesn't become the norm. And now and that's the thing. Kareem Hunt picked a hell of a time to take a stand.
No doubt.
They're already freaked out about the whole Deshaun
right.
Watson thing. Now Kareem Hunt, a guy who's number 2 at best on the depth chart, says, hey, I want more money or I'm not going to practice in the team drills. Yeah, you just tell that guy, sit down and shut up. We got bigger fish to fry right now.
Yeah, yes. I mean, you know, you don't want to maybe be that blunt, but it is normal other than the Deshaun Watson thing. Like, I mean, again, well, no, I know. That's a big thing. And again, I don't believe, and from what I know, I don't think Kevin Stefanski was the guy that was out there going, hey, let's get Deshaun Watson team. Let's get Deshaun Watson team. That's why I think before the break, you know, we had a few conversations where I went, hey, I kind of feel bad for the guy. He's been put in a very tough spot here. All right. But I think what he's saying is distractions, contracts, you know, dealing with 90 football players and having to deal with some, you know, hurt egos and some issues that way. That is normal business in the NFL. It is. Now, yes, he's been throwing the ultimate, you know, curveball there with Deshaun Watson. And I also wonder sometimes with, like, you know, yeah, the Watson thing's a huge issue, Mike, like you're talking about. But then even with a guy like Kareem Hunt maybe wanting more money, you know, the Deshaun Watson contract and that situation, I'm sure, doesn't help out things either. So there's a lot of things in play there, but I'm glad to see that they got that figured out. They need their stable of running backs this year more than ever. I don't think you or I are expecting Deshaun Watson back anytime before week 10 at the very best. So that's where I look at it and go, hey, Jacoby Brissett, they're going to try to play a ball control. Hopefully their defense could be really damn good. And Nick Chubb, Kareem Hunt, Deontay Johnson, and a few passes here and there. And I would imagine that's the kind of style of football they want to play. So that's where he does have value to the team. And maybe we'll get some good touches this year to kind of show everybody, hey, like, I am top 10-ish, top 12-ish as far as a running back goes in the NFL. Because, again, we saw that type of talent when he was the guy in Kansas City. There's no question about that.
It seems like more and more teams are adopting Mike Tomlin's "we want volunteers,
right.
not hostages," but the Browns are not one of them, at least as it relates to Kareem Hunt. You're not getting out. You're not getting a trade. You're not getting a new contract, at least not this way. Maybe that was the message that got him to practice. This isn't the way to do it. Not now. We want to talk about this. Let's talk about it. But staging a partial hold-in out of the blue 2 weeks into training camp, that is not the way to get the contract that you want. So it seems like it's died down on the Kareem Hunt front. We continue to wait and see what will happen with Deshaun Watson. And that's the question I get from so many people right now. When do we know? When do we know? When do we know? There is no specific deadline in the personal conduct policy or the collective bargaining agreement as to when Peter Harvey has to issue a ruling. My reading of the documents is no hearing is necessary, so it could come at any time. I'm trying to find out whether or not the union asked for a hearing as part of its submission on Friday. I'd heard some noise late in the week that the union was possibly going to ask for a hearing before Peter Harvey. Not that it's going to matter. Not that it's going to do anything. He's still going to issue the decision he's going to issue. And I'd like to think the union would want it done sooner rather than later. A hearing just slows it down. So, Chris, it can be any day. The only requirement is that the process be expedited. There is no requirement that it be 3 days, 5 days, 7 days. But with that word expedited, I kind of would expect that we'll hear something this week. I'd be a little surprised if we don't hear something this week.
Yeah, I'm with you there. I mean, I don't. You know, when I hear expedited or whatever, I don't think that it's like, oh, you know, 2-3 weeks down the road. I think, yeah, somewhere between the next 3 and 7 days, for sure. I'm with you there. And I think that's fair to all parties. I mean, come on. This has been going on a long time. I know he's got to read all the evidence and do all that stuff, but I wouldn't think it's going to take that long to make this decision.
Yeah, it was almost 3 weeks for Judge Robinson to issue her decision after she got the paperwork from the parties, and there was no requirement that her decision be expedited. So it's going to be less than that to show that it's truly expedited. But this is the other thing I keep coming back to, because people are confused by this process. The union agreed to make it a situation where the commissioner or his designee had final say over the process. And they could have agreed to specific dates or deadlines. When they're sitting down, they have the language in front of them, they're going over it word for word, fine tooth comb, and they could have agreed, and maybe one side did and the other side didn't want to do it, I don't know, but they could have agreed to a specific deadline for the decision to be made after the paperwork was submitted, but they didn't. So now we just sit and wait, Chris.
Yeah, just sit and wait. We'll see. I mean, again, I do expect the number of games to go up significantly. I just wonder, is it going to be the full year, or is it going to be in that 10 to 12 range? I think that's where at least I feel I'm sitting at right now. And I don't know, it seems to be a lot of the thoughts when you talk to some people around the league that it's somewhere in that, you know, ballpark. So
12 is the kind of loose, like the same way 6 was the kind of loose number.
Yeah.
That I had floating around before Judge Robinson suspended him 6. 12 is kind of, but there's still that part of me that says the league wants 17, the league's getting 17.
Yeah.
They want to go to court over it, they go to court over it. Maybe they're thinking if we back off to 12, they won't. They won't go through the whole effort to try to race to the courthouse if it's just 12. But maybe 12 and a huge fine to take away some of the money he made last year. Maybe that's the combination.
Yeah.
Regardless, I've heard, and I know it's not even on the outline today, but it's still, I should have pushed for it to be in the outline because it continues to be such a big story. I've heard that basically what they do when they decide one of these, you know, all the people who have a voice in it, they just kind of sit around the room and talk about it and then try to figure out what the public is going to react to and how they're going to react. Again, it's a big PR. People act surprised that it's a PR thing. It is a PR thing. It is about optics.
Right.
It is about how people are going to respond. That's why they even have a personal conduct policy in the first place. But it's basically lawyers and the commissioner and other executives sitting in a conference room just talking it through. And I've heard there's a concern sometimes there's too many voices involved. But even with this process, because Peter Harvey, even though he's on the outside, he's part of the inner circle when it comes to the personal conduct policy. So they are going to pick a number that they think they can sell that strikes all the balances they're trying to strike. But the most important one is never be perceived as being too lenient with someone who has committed this kind of misconduct.
Yeah.
Because that happened with Ray Rice. And I think if there's one way to go or the other, they're going to go more stringent.
Go hard. Agreed. And I'm a little sick of hearing everybody like, you know, social media, TV, oh, it's all about the optics. Well, no crap. I mean, thanks, Captain Obvious. What business wouldn't be about the optics? Every major enterprise in the country is about the optics. I mean, we're in an age of we just take stuff, whether we know the facts or not, and we just go, hey, there it is. And then that perception becomes a reality. So, yes, it's very important, of course, to the NFL, more than any other company, really. When you're an entertainment business and on everybody's TV for 25 weeks of the year on a Sunday and Monday, yes, the optics are very important. I'm sick of people saying that where they're like, oh, it's about the optics. No crap. Thanks, Captain Obvious.
And that's where, and this is the last thing I'll say about it for now, the fact that we all know there were 20 people beyond the four whose cases were submitted to Judge Robinson, that's part of the optics. That's where the specific technical legal realities conflict with what the rest of us know.
Yeah, right.
Right?
Right.
The rest of us know it's more than that. And right. So that fuels the expectation that it's going to be more stringent. So the union can huff and puff and say, that's way too much for these four claims. Yeah, but...
Around any corner, within every battle, and with the dawn of each new day, the threat of the unexpected, the unpredictable, and the unrelenting lies in wait. But Marines will always be there. They are the constant in the chaos. No matter the battlefield, Marines adapt to win, defeating every shifting threat. Protecting our nation's future. The few, the proud, the Marines.
It's not just.
It's not four.
More than that.
Yeah.
It's not four. And we all know it's not four.
Right. At four, and, we and found all this just with the four. Think what might have happened if we did the other 20. I don't know.
Well,
so.
remember the theory that they were all lying, that it was one grand conspiracy?
Yeah.
I mean, if we found that four of them are credible, were the other 20 in a conspiracy? It doesn't make any sense.
No.
Well, four of them are telling the truth. The other 20 are lying. No, it tends to give credibility to the rest. So, and then you throw on top of it, Chris, the fact that Deshaun Watson wasn't truthful. It's not going to go well.
No.
It's not going to go well.
Agreed.
It's going to be 12 or more, and I'm not going to be surprised if it's more. All right, Matthew Stafford addressed over the weekend one of the sneaky big stories in the NFL. It's not like Deshaun Watson stuff, but it's gradually building. Stafford, who's always been kind of low-key, I think tried his best over the weekend to get people to back off a little bit.
Right.
Here he is talking about the tendonitis in his elbow.
I don't know. I just have a little soreness. We're working through it. I felt pretty good today. I thought it looked pretty good. But just trying to be smart with it and make me feel as good as I can feel going into week one and while still getting as many reps as I can too. I'm just going through something that is irritating, you know, at the moment, but I'm working through it. We got a great plan. I'm feeling stronger every time I come out here and throw. I don't know if you guys were watching, felt like I could make any throw I wanted to today, and just trying to be smart when I get those opportunities and make sure I can come out here, cut it loose, turn it loose, like I did today, and go from there. I don't know if it's a baseball or a football injury. I'm currently play football, so I guess it's on a football player, so it's a football injury at this point. But I'm not really too worried about what it's called or whether it's abnormal or not or whatever. I'm worried about here today, how did I feel? Let's continue to progress and get better.
I mean, it's encouraging when you hear it from him, but again, he's not participating in team drills. And Chris, you explained this very well last week. And yes, there's a great throw. That's fine. But there's a different urgency.
Yeah.
There's a different everything when you've got 11 on 11 and you're looking for that guy to get open. And as you said last week, you may be putting a little more on it.
Right.
You're whipping your arm a little bit
harder.
Body's
in a different position.
Right. And it's going to be more likely to cause you elbow pain.
Yeah, no, it's a big deal. It is. Yeah, I mean, you're right. It's the Super Bowl champs. It's, you know, a damn good quarterback who's one of the 10 best in football and came there and brought that team over the top. And it's been a whole offseason of, you know, wait, we'll rest it and then it'll get better. Wait. We rested it for 6 months and we're still not better. We're still dealing with it. You know, I think it's encouraging that you see he can make those throws. That at least lets me know, oh, wow, okay, it's there, but obviously this is an issue. And, you know, I know there was a lot of, you know, raving reviews. I think that was the Saturday practice, or maybe that was Friday. I can't remember.
Saturday.
Yeah, I mean, there was a few throws throughout social media that were very impressive. But, yeah, this is, again, one of those things that And I'll get, you got to be ready to throw it maybe 50 times week one. And like you said, you know, really put all, you know, everything you got into some of these throws and having your feet cockeyed. And now, wait, I got to throw really with all arm here on a 20-yard crossing route to Van Jefferson or Cooper Kupp. And that's what you worry about. So hopefully, you know, they can get that healed and figured out. From people I've heard around that situation out there, he's seeing some baseball people in the baseball world to get it fixed. I always think, well, gosh, he's in L.A. and he went to high school with Clayton Kershaw. So certainly he knows somebody out there that knows how to deal with some tendonitis in the elbow because, you know, like McVay said on Thursday, it is typically more of a, you know, baseball thing. You see it from time to time in football. And baseball is Tommy John surgery. You see two or three guys on every baseball team every year almost sometimes. Football, I mean, through the test of time, I think we were talking about this last week. All I can remember is Ben Roethlisberger, Jake Delhomme, right? And am I missing any? Terry Bradshaw. Other than that, I've never heard of anybody really having the ligaments torn or anything like that. Sore arm, sore elbow, Brett Favre. I remember he had it 1 year and dealt with it a little bit. But it is unusual for a quarterback to be dealing with it quite to the extent maybe a baseball player usually would.
Second straight year, we've got a starting quarterback in the NFL with a baseball-type injury. Last year, Dak Prescott had the deep lat muscle back injury. As we thought, overcompensating because he doesn't fully trust the ankle, maybe put more of his body into the throws because his base isn't 100%. That's a point that you make all the time. When you have one area that isn't working the way that it should, stress gets put somewhere else, and you can get a problem somewhere else when the real problem is something else altogether.
No question.
And look, Stafford exuded kind of a casual, cool nonchalance about the whole thing that was more persuasive than the perpetual Sean McVay glass half full, everything's fine, Chris, everything's fine, Mike, everything's fine, everyone. That I wasn't buying that. I'd buy it a little bit more from Stafford.
Yeah.
Unless he just truly just that's just his way, even if he knows we got a problem with his elbow.
He's a cool customer, there's no question, but I think, you know, like you and I are always into reading tells, reading body language, and I did not come away with that going, oh, that guy's BS, that's full of crap, and he's stumbling over some words and doesn't know how to quite answer that. It did seem like a guy that was like, hey, I'm okay. It's annoying. I'm dealing with it. It's not perfect, but I'm going to be okay, and hopefully they can get to the bottom of it. Yeah, Mike, I had it once in my life, and you know why I had it? Because I had a 10-inch scar going down the middle of my stomach, and I was that next year after I lost my spleen, got to camp, and I was like, damn, my elbow was hurting, my shoulder was hurting, and I was just slowly falling apart. And of course, yes, at the end of the day, I start to find out, like, hey, none of your core muscles are even working. You are throwing all arm. Nothing's connected. You know, lefty being, you know, that connection between the right leg and the left arm, it wasn't there. And, you know, hopefully they can get to the bottom of it, though. But I'm less concerned than maybe I was early last week. That's for sure. I think that workout and his press conference made me feel a little bit better about it for sure.
It's another aspect by which the graphic of you as the bare-knuckled fighter was inaccurate. There was no tennis.
That's right. That's right.
To add that.
Yeah.
I it's easier for us to say because we're not there in the press conference, and I still think a press conference is a horribly inefficient and ineffective way to get information because it's one after another instead of an interview where you can go back and forth and follow up. I would like somebody just to say to him, show us where it hurts. Like, where is the pain? And is it 1 to 10? Almost like a doctor would
do. Yeah.
Because he's got a rap on it.
Right.
We're talking about it. Like, give us an idea of what it feels like. I know what it – I still can tell you exactly what my elbow would feel like if I was at the baseball field as a kid and just throwing the ball too much and you're walking home. I know exactly where it hurt.
Yeah.
Even now.
I think it's that spot.
It felt.
Right.
Right. I'd like to have him explain that.
Right. No, I hear you. Yeah, you're right. It would be nice to have a little bit of a visual. I would imagine, I mean, 9 times out of 10, it is that spot you're talking about, the inside of the elbow right there where everything hinges on all the time, right? And him with an incredibly flexible arm, which makes him that makes the ability to make the throws that he does there. They have the feet, you know, at 9 and 3 on the clock and then be able to throw a 50-yard bomb down the middle is what made him Matt Stafford and throwing bombs to Calvin Johnson, whoever else through the career. You know, it is. He relies on that flexibility, pliability of the shoulder and elbow joint to make him, you know, a flamethrower that way. And I'm sure it's annoying the hell out of him. But, you know, again, we saw some clips that were encouraging, and at least it sounds like they're on the right track here. So hopefully, but we heard that in the spring, so I'm not ready to, like, totally latch onto that yet.
1 month exactly from today, the Rams host the Bills.
We'll be there
Thursday night to open the season. Not me, baby. I got my hall pass. I'm not going.
You're not going?
Our pregame show. I'm not flying across the country, screwing up our whole show schedule, limiting my ability to be productive at my main hangout, PFT, for 2 minutes at most on a half-hour pregame show.
We're only doing a half-hour pregame show that day?
I think it's a short. If it's longer, there's a lot of other elements and stuff. It's
right.
Not. I don't know if it's a half hour or not.
I doubt that.
Misspoken.
Yes.
I don't know. But it's a relatively short pregame show with a lot of other stuff in it. So I will be here. I will be involved. I'm just not physically going to L.A. And frankly, I mean, I vowed when I got back from the Super Bowl to never go to L.A. again. So it's kind of hard to go back there in the same calendar year.
Well, that's just a bunch of bullcrap. I don't know what to say about that.
You need
to be there
on Friday.
Okay, that's it.
Don't work on Friday, and I don't go to L.A.
Apparently, you don't go to NFL game openers. Okay, all right.
I've been there 3 years.
I'm gonna have to.
I've been there 3 years.
So
I've been there since Bears Packers.
So I don't know how that's gonna work. I'm not doing the show at 4 in the morning. I know that.
I have a feeling you'll be replaced that week.
Oh,
I have a feeling.
Damn.
All right. You know who will replace you? Somebody who lives in L.A. and gets his ass up to do the show at 4 a.m. anytime he gets the opportunity. Miles Simmons.
Hey, keep.
He'll jump at the opportunity to do
all
it.
All right. Keep jumping, Miles. You got it, man. Go ahead. You go for it, buddy.
All right. More on Stafford, because as in the same division, the Jimmy Garoppolo situation continues to be unresolved. People are starting to make the connection. Hey, if Stafford's elbow ends up being a big deal like it was for Ben Roethlisberger 3 years ago, maybe Garoppolo ends up with the Los Angeles Rams. I mean, that really would be something. And I think it would take a lot for that to happen.
A lot.
At a minimum, he'd have to be cut. I don't think he's getting traded to the Rams. They would trade him anywhere else in the league. They would trade him and give a late-round pick to make sure he goes to that team instead of trading him to the Rams. It's not quite as bad as the Packers not wanting to trade Brett Favre to the Vikings, the Bears, or the Lions, but I don't think the 49ers are handing him to the Rams. But they may have to cut him August 30 when the rosters go to 53. He's not going to be on the week one roster, and maybe if Stafford gets injured and can't play at some point after Garoppolo's available and is still unsigned, that's the only way it's going to happen.
That's right. That's right.
Either way.
That's the only way.
Either way.
Yeah.
Garoppolo's not going to be. They've already made it clear. Look, he's been with the team for 2 weeks. He does whatever he wants. He goes wherever he wants. He's not involved in meetings. He's not involved in practices, and he's okay with it because he and the team are waiting for lightning to strike somewhere and knock a quarterback out for the season. And if not, he's going to get cut, and he becomes a free agent really late in the game. But his only chance of getting anything close to $25 million is if that lightning strike happens. He knows that. The 49ers will get a nice return with draft picks, and Garoppolo gets far closer to 25 than 5 if it's this Vikings, Teddy Bridgewater, panic. Our starter's gone. What are we going to do? Which is exactly what happened 6 years ago. Chances of it, minuscule, Chris, but it's clear now that's what they're waiting for.
Yeah, I think you explained it exactly right. They're going to wait for that. And he's willing to just because of what you said, even though it's probably hard, you know, and he's going, man, I'd like to get somewhere and figure out my life. Well, do you want to get somewhere and figure out your life? Is it worth, you know, losing maybe $15 million over it? And that's where he's probably, okay, all right, I'll just wait it out. We'll see. Maybe I will, you know, get lucky and get traded and be able to keep this contract. But yeah, it's a weird situation. It's very odd. I mean, it's really through the test of time or the NFL history, I can't remember a whole lot like this where we're going, hey, quarterback that went to the Super Bowl, went to the NFC Championship game, got replaced, still on the roster, hanging around, working out, you know, making things a little weird there in San Francisco altogether. But there's no way, like you said, that they're going to give him to the Rams, nor would it, if I'm Jimmy Garoppolo, I wouldn't want to go to the Rams either unless you knew Stafford was going to be out for like the year or like 10, 12 games, something like that. You know, other than that, you're going there and going, wait, I'm going to get in there, have to learn an offense real quick. I don't know how the hell that's going to go, and I might not do good, and then Stafford's going to come back and make me look not good when he knows the offense is going to come around throwing lasers. So I don't think that's necessarily the best situation for Jimmy Garoppolo either, unless, like, Stafford is completely out of the situation for 2022.
That really would be the ultimate deciding factor in the rivalry between Kyle Shanahan and Sean McVay. If McVay could absorb Garoppolo, assuming Stafford ends up being out for the year, and that's a huge assumption at this point, but I'm just saying the only way this happens, and if it would happen, my God, how compelling it would be to see what McVay could do with Garoppolo and if he could get Garoppolo to take the Rams over the top. You mentioned it's kind of weird out there. That was one of the questions that Kyle Shanahan was asked on Friday when he met with reporters about whether or not it is awkward with Jimmy Garoppolo there and destined to soon be not there.
I don't come up with anything. I mean, we have a real good relationship with Jimmy. There's no secret here of what the situation is. I think he fully understands the situation. We fully understand the situation. So we make the best of it. And Jimmy's out there. He's feeling better and better each day. I still see him. We have a real good relationship with Jimmy, and he's done some really good things here. So fans getting pumped with him, and our players still love him, seeing him. That doesn't surprise me at all. I mean, you have to report, you know, with the rules of the NFL today and stuff. You have to report. So we made it the best for both. If Jimmy wanted to be in every single meeting and wanted to do everything, for sure we would let him. I would guess that isn't what he would want totally. And when we asked him, that was accurate. He didn't totally want that. So he's just trying to get his body ready for hopefully the next situation he goes into.
One of the key ingredients to this, Chris, is that Jimmy Garoppolo has gone along with it. We talk about the Steve McNair situation from time to time. He knew there was a trade in place to the Ravens. The Ravens and the Titans weren't coming to an agreement, though, about compensation. McNair trying to force the issue by showing up and working out in the offseason and risking the possibility of an injury that would have made his $11 million cap hit, I think, at the time, something the Titans would have to absorb, even if he's not able to play because he dropped a weight on his foot or whatever may have happened if they had let him in. Jimmy's there, but he's not there. He's working out, but he's not really with the team. He's not in the meetings. He's not part of it. And he's going along with it because, again, waiting, being patient for that lightning to strike is his best play to get his $25 million. And, Chris, at the risk of jinxing Trey Lance, I don't know if I've said this on this show or elsewhere, maybe both, the lightning could strike with Trey Lance.
There's no...
If something happens and he can't play at all this year, who else would the quarterback be if Jimmy Garoppolo's still on the team?
They're going back to him. No doubt, Mike. I think it's a valid point. I heard you bring it up once last week in conversation. I don't think we actually talked about this on the show, but agreed. I mean, again, the 49ers are a Super Bowl team. They're a Super Bowl team. I mean, I'm not sure they weren't better than the Rams, really, last year as a complete football team. It's just the guy number 9 on the Rams put the Rams over the top. I mean, plain and simple. But this is a team that's real. It's ready to be had as far as the Super Bowl right now. And, yes, I think your point there with Trey Lance, I mean, hey, you know, I think you said this a few weeks ago. We saw Trey Lance twice last year. He got hurt in both games. Arizona hurts his knee in a collision at the goal line. You know, Houston Texans, whatever week that was, 13-14, hurts his thumb, right? Or one of the fingers on his hand. So, yes, this is a guy that's still raw, relying on athletic ability, a little reckless, not used to speed of the NFL, used to kind of being the main man out in North Dakota State and being one of the better athletes on the field, no question about it. And it is risky. So I think that's probably another part why the 49ers are not in like some crazy rush just to, you know, throw him out the door for anything.
Yeah, and that would be the ultimate irony. The guy that they trade up to draft ends up having the same durability issues that Jimmy Garoppolo had, which is ultimately, I think, the main factor that caused the 49ers to fall out of love with Jimmy Garoppolo. So, look, if it doesn't happen, now you can keep him past August 30 if you're willing to keep him on the roster. By then, though, the hay's in the barn. The preseason's over. But, you know, that Teddy Bridgewater injury happened at a practice, not in a game. It's possible he mostly tore the ACL in the game. I can't. They had a game against the Chargers in their new stadium, like right before that, and I can't remember whether he took a hit in that game. I kind of think he did, but it's almost. Remember when Deshaun Watson told us, at the Super Bowl,
right,
that his ACL was torn. He believed during the game against the Seahawks, that great game where Richard Sherman sought him out and said, "That's the best any quarterback's ever played against us, even better than Tom Brady." And then it went non-contact when he was just running in practice a few days later. So, my point is, by August 30, there's still a chance. There's still a chance that even if the preseason's over at that point, and it will be, that something can happen between then and when Jimmy Garoppolo's contract becomes fully guaranteed. So I won't be surprised. I've assumed all along they'll cut him when they cut to 53. They still could choose to carry him on the roster.
Yeah.
Still could choose to do it, because the worst thing for them is we carry him all this time, we cut him, and the next day somebody's ACL goes kaflooey.
Right.
And Jimmy Garoppolo, and they could have had something for Garoppolo. I think they'll wait until the last moment before they owe him $25 million.
And the last moment is what? The day before the game?
No. I need to ask when that is. It's at some point before week one, just like in days, maybe hours before the game, whether it's when the roster's locked the Saturday before.
Yeah, it's something
whenever
like
it
that.
Is, they'll right. be keenly aware of when that deadline is, because if you are on the active roster at that moment, your salary becomes guaranteed as a practical matter. There's a provision in the CBA called termination pay. You can use it once in your career if you've got four or more years of service and you get cut at any point after you are on the week one roster. You collect all that money. You get to double dip. You get all that money, and you can go play for someone else, and there's no offset. I remember Josh Freeman did that with the Bucks when they cut him in 2013. It was a huge amount, like $8 million that he walked away with, and it happens from time to time. And from time to time, what also happens, Chris, vested veterans get cut right before week one because the team doesn't want to be on the hook for their salary for the whole year.
Yeah, no, that's a big part of the game, certainly. And then, you know, we see that every year too. Veteran gets cut, maybe gets re-signed week two, you know, to another deal, but the big chunk of change that he would have made before they got cut is no longer part of the equation. So, yes, that's part of the song and dance in the NFL, and I could certainly see that happening. I could see that happening to where Jimmy Garoppolo's on the street, you know, week one, maybe week two in the NFL. Oh, man, week two, we're watching Sunday games. Someone gets hurt. Ring, ring, ring. There we go. We got to call Jimmy G. And now he's in some team's, you know, training or in some team's locker room that week leading up to week three. I could see that being the case for Jimmy Garoppolo.
Well, it continues to be a fascinating dynamic in the 2022 training camp and preseason, and once those games start, and look, some quarterbacks will be kept in bubble wrap, others will be playing. It's one of the news items we're tracking this week at PFT. How much will we see starters in these preseason games? Acknowledging that, especially for quarterbacks, that's really the only risk that they have is playing in the preseason, because in training camp, unless somebody falls accidentally onto them in the pocket, you're not going to have that kind of injury. It's going to knock you out for the whole year. Let's take a break. We'll look at some of the quarterback competitions that are happening around the NFL in training camp when this Monday edition of PFT Live continues right after this.
Dietz and Watson's been making meats and cheeses the right way since forever. What's that mean? It means never cutting corners, ever. It means cooking, not processing. It means our Virginia brand ham that's cooked to perfection, then twice baked to layer the flavors. It takes more time, but you can taste the difference. We come to work every day to do it the right way, even if it's the hard way. Because if it's not right for us, it's not right for you. Dietz and Watson, it's a family thing since 1939.